Welcome back. This is the Paula Gordon Show. I'm Paula. Bill Russell and I are with Dr. Dennis Burton. We're talking about human bodies. We're talking about antibodies. Your work is not only with Ebola and hantavirus, but also HIV, but there's a whole, can I use the word, Bill, can I, panoply, there's a whole bunch of other issue, other viruses and presumably bacteria as well. Lots of diseases, pathogens.
Right.
I don't want us paranoid, but give us the bad news and the good news here, that yes, there's more and we're making progress?
Oh, I think we're definitely making progress the whole time. I mean, I think HIV is driving quite a lot of understanding of pathogens. It's forcing people to address very basic issues in the interaction between pathogens and humans, and thinking quite deeply about how vaccines work and how you can make better vaccines. No doubt that's a major area, and it is a hopeful area. I mean, I think that pathogens are different from us, and you know they do have weaknesses, and they and we can attack those, and we will, and we will we will triumph over them, but it's a question of how quickly and you know how determined that we are.
Is this I'm dazzled when you say we will triumph over pathogens. That seems very hopeful indeed. Actually, that seems excessively hopeful. Well, won't we always be in contest with the other life forces?
Yes, well, yes, we will, but I think we will increasingly be able to manage them. I mean, I think there will be a lot of ups and downs. There will be a lot of setbacks. And part of the problem is the fact that, you know, pathogens can spread so quickly and do so much damage so quickly that we'll suddenly be knocked way back. I mean, the scale of HIV is in Africa, for instance, is probably little understood here. But, it's understood, but the scale maybe is not appreciated. I mean, it's now said there are something like 40 million orphans in Africa because of AIDS.
Yeah, I think we have an abstract sense of it. I think we have no sense of the tangibility of that
fact. And I think that that's going to have enormous destabilizing effects on Africa in terms of politics and economics. And and that thing has come from very quickly, almost from nowhere. You know, that is the power of infectious disease, and undoubtedly it could knock us back like that a number of times.
Well, and it seems again that that's an argument for the fundamental research, the basic research, the kinds of things you're doing. There may be something out there that we haven't seen yet. There doubtless something we haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got a much better chance of being able to cope with it if we have an expanding toolbox than if it just, you know, there is a finite possibility that something could get loose that could decimate the human population.
Right. Well, I think smallpox would do that now because it, you have a hugely naive a population that's largely or a large proportion has not been vaccinated.
What he was going to say is that
terrible.
We are immunologically naive. I could see you going that direction. But that's a really important concept, isn't it? That if
yes.
You know, after everybody thought it was over and we stopped getting immunized against smallpox and we become, our bodies become naive in the scientific sense, that all of a sudden we're at risk again and don't even know it. C.J. Peters, Dr. C.J. Peters at the Centers for Disease Control, made it clear to us that one of the really important things you've done is developing antibodies that at short notice could be brought to the fore.
Right. Yes, that's true. They could provide a short-term protection and even possibly some kind of therapeutic advantage. But certainly, if there were outbreaks, then you could protect some people. But ideally, you know, but a much more powerful tool is vaccination because it calls upon the body's own resources. With smallpox, we hoped it was finished, and you know, in a sense, it's eradicated, but there has to be this fear that it could fall into the wrong hands, and in a naive population, it would be devastating.
You know, in a sense, again, simple-mindedly, what you're describing, I think, is you know, with the kinds of work that you and many other people are doing, we have a better chance of not getting ambushed.
Right.
You know, I mean, we've got better look ahead, and if we see something, we are better able to cope with it than would be the case otherwise.
Right.
The other side, of course, is that's a hard sell. And we tend to respond to crises. We tend to respond to the immediate threat. And we as humans seem to be very reluctant to look downstream and say it could possibly be the case that something may be.
Right.
And we tend to discount that.
Right. Well, that's true and not true. I mean, I think America has made huge investments in science, which has been enormously forward-looking and has paid huge dividends, you know, in medical terms, biotechnology, molecular medicine, in the information technologies. I mean, these are all big investments that, you know, you couldn't necessarily see that you're going to reap a benefit, you know.
Give us an example of the kinds of benefits that have been reaped.
In medicine?
You talk about how big these leaps are, but make that tangible for me.
Let me think of examples.
Sure.
Yeah, I just need to. Having said, well, the investment in big science in medical research has paid off directly in terms of the lead of the United States in biotechnology. So you have a huge burgeoning biotechnology industry that's leading the way in developing new pharmaceuticals and really will revolutionize a lot of medicine, and that has really come about from a belief in the future and an investment, and a good one, I think.
You said you know, the commitment the United States has made in research looking forward. I assume there's some other countries that are doing things that it is not. The United States is not enjoying the benefits of this exclusively.
No, absolutely not. No, it's not. But it's certainly been first out there, and it's certainly been most seriously out there. And I think that's given the United States a lead. And I think that Europe, for example, would definitely agree to that, and now has to do catch up.
You may not want to speculate on this, but I'm curious why that might be the case. We obviously have resources, in one political entity that make that possible. We've got a history of science. We've got universities that do certain kinds of things. But do you have a sense of why it is that the United States stepped into this faster than other countries, or is that unanswerable?
In a way, it is unanswerable. I think it is a very strong fundamental belief in science and a willingness to take a chance, a willingness to risk.
It's what James Hillman calls the progressivist fantasy.
Yes, it is.
And in this case, it works.
It works. I don't want to get too far from the practicalities of this. In addition to people like you in labs doing really cutting-edge science, isn't there also a more, if you will, humble part of this that is just kind of basic public health that's the other end of what you do?
Oh, absolutely.
Without those folks on the ground, you can do all the best work in the world.
Absolutely.
But those people who've given the shots to the people who are...
Absolutely. I mean, that's fundamental. I mean, making good vaccines is absolutely useless if the vaccines don't go into people's arms and protect them. I mean, that's a huge, huge part of the whole public health issue. And it still remains true that possibly the major advance in public health in the Western world was increased awareness of the importance of sanitary conditions and so on. That really reduced infectious disease massively, and that's clearly enormously important.
Talk about humble.
Well, there are people that still say that the most important public health issue is clean water in the world.
Right.
And we tend to forget that, but it's, you know, it's a good starting point.
It's a very good starting point. There's no doubt about it.
It's also not very glamorous, and it's not the kind of thing that you can get people to rally around and give billions of dollars for the public health nurses.
Right. Right.
I want to go back to how easy your work is.
Well, do it quickly, Bill.
You know, you talked, you know, all the things going into this, and we've decided that it's not just a matter of plugging in a computer program. You talked about thinking, but it also seems that an important part of this requires FaceTime. I don't know how else to put it, but that you be talking and engaging with other scientists across a broad range of things, and there's just no substitute for that.
Right, that's definitely true.
We can talk about that at more length when we come back in just a moment. This is Dr. Dennis Burton. We are with him, Bill Russell and I, in Taos, New Mexico. We'll all be back in just a moment.